The following is a public hall lecture entitled Transcendental Warrior, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 11th, 2013, in Helsinki, Finland.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming to this program tonight. I've been asked to speak about Transcendental Warrior. Those terms would seem contradictory to many people. War is considered a very mundane thing, not at all transcendental. So how you can say Transcendental Warrior? People would say that doesn't make any sense, how a warrior can be transcendental. A warrior is the most mundane thing in the world, somebody who goes around killing, fighting. How can that be transcendental? Well, the answer is there's different kinds of war. There is transcendental war, and that is the war against ignorance. At the present time, the entire world population is suffering due to ignorance. And what is that ignorance? That is the ignorance of the self. If you ask someone, "Who are you, my dear sir?" he will say, "Well, I'm so-and-so, I'm a Finnish, I'm male and female, whatever." All in relationship with the body. Our conception, our identity, is based on this body. That is the first item of ignorance that causes us to be in difficulty in our lives, actually. What's the first thing we hear when we come out of the womb? Look, it's a boy, it's a girl, you see? But actually the self and the body are different. And then as we're growing up, what are we told? Be a good little boy. Be a good little girl. Isn't it? But the thing is, we're not this body. It's like, see, you have, I see, sir, you have a nice white jacket on, you see. If I said, now, you be a good jacket, could you be psychologically well-adjusted? If everybody told you that you're a jacket and you have to be a good jacket, you see, you would be a psychological misfit, you see. If you were told a false conception of identity, now you be a good jacket. Whatever you do, be a good jacket, you see. So that's the psychological terrorism that's actually being imposed on every single living entity that's born in this world today, you see. We are taught to think that we're a lump of blood, flesh, mucus, bile and urine and stool. We're taught to think this is me. And we base our whole life and our whole happiness on this false conception. Therefore, the world is in chaotic condition due to this ignorance, this gross ignorance of the self. We need to know who we are, you see. And we need to know how to be who we are. That knowledge is not taught. So there's this ignorance of the self is the greatest injustice in the history. Mass injustice on this planet right now. Everyone's being taught a false conception of who they are. Therefore, everybody's frustrated. Even the happy success people are also frustrated. You see, so-called happy, successful people. Everybody's frustrated. Therefore, there has to be a war against this ignorance, an aggressive campaign of education. You see, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about guns. We're not talking about bombs. We're not talking about submarines and missiles. No. We're talking about a very aggressive and powerful educational program to reach the mass of people at every level. That people actually know who I am. What is my actual identity? Because when that knowledge is there, this is called Atma Tattva, the science of the self. When you actually know who you are, then you can actually be who you are. And it's not difficult to be happy. It's not difficult to be successful. It's not difficult to feel totally fulfilled and ecstatic at every moment of your life. It's not difficult. It's no more difficult than it is for a fish to be swimming happily in the ocean water, you see. But you take a fish out of the water and put him onto the land and say, my dear fish, I see you're a little disturbed. I think you need a psychiatrist. Can you satisfy that flapping in agony fish with a psychiatrist? Or maybe some psychiatric drugs like they give nowadays. Let me see. Some antidepressant drugs will give you mischief. Why don't you just throw him back in the water? That's all he needs. He just needs to be back in his natural habitat. That's all he needs. So this is the great problem in our society, you see. The leaders don't know who they are. The professors don't know who they are. The scientists, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the priests, the rabbis, the imams. Nobody knows who we are. There's gross ignorance throughout the world. We don't know that we're pure spiritual beings, qualitatively one with God. We're actually the eternal servants of the Lord, you see. We've forgotten these things. We've totally forgotten who we are. We're thinking, I'm Finnish, I'm American, I'm Russian. That's not the reality. So, if we can find out actually who we are, it becomes very natural and very easy to make it through life in a very wonderful way, you see. Very wonderful way. Doesn't matter what profession you may have or life, you know, where you live in the world. You can be in Finland. You can be in Hawaii. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. You can be a student. You can be a businessman, a politician, a cook, a dancer, a poet, a carpenter. It doesn't matter what the profession. Doesn't matter the gender. It doesn't matter the nationality. You can be beautiful. You can be ugly. It doesn't matter any of these. None of these material considerations matter one iota. Not even one teeny weeny little iota do they matter. Nothing. Simply, you have to know who you are. That's all you need. I'm the eternal spiritual being. I'm a servant of the Supreme. So, you may say, well, that's interesting, but, you know, I'm an educated person. I need some proof. I'm not just going to take something on blind faith. That's all right. See. We can understand it very scientifically, who we actually are. Look at your body as an example. Every part of your body is naturally meant to serve the complete whole of the body. You see, just like your hand, for example. The body requires nutrition. The hand also, being part of the body, requires nutrition. So how does it get its nutrition? Does it just take the food and squish it in the fingers? No. It takes the food and feeds it to the mouth, to the stomach, you see. The part gets satisfied, gets what it needs by serving the complete whole unit. And if the hand tries to serve separately, it will never be, it tries to enjoy separately, I mean to say, it will never get what it needs. You can't just squeeze the rice between the fingers and get the nutrition, you see. There's even a story, actually, about this. One time, the parts of the body, they said, what is this nonsense? We're serving the belly, and all it does is sit there and enjoy the fruit of our hard labor. It just sits there and enjoys. So they got together, and they formed a labor union. And they went on strike. Don't feed the stomach. They had a little mantra, you know. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a selfish pig. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. So their strike was going on with great enthusiasm and great energy the first day. The second day, they started to lose their energy. Don't feed the stomach. And the third day, don't feed the stomach. I think we better call another meeting of the labor union. So they called off the strike. They realized this doesn't work. You can't go on strike against the stomach, you see. So now we want you to deny God, you see. That's the modern day psychology. God is, kill God. God is useless. Get rid of God, you see. We're going on strike against God. We don't realize that God is supplying everything. He's the supplier of everything. Eko bahunam yovudadati kaman. That supreme being, he's supplying all the necessities of everyone. Now what happens if you don't pay your utility bill here in Finland? You're going to have a cold winter with no electricity and no, however you heat your house, steam or whatever. You have to pay your utility bill, you see. So now we're thinking, we don't want to pay our utility bill anymore, the supreme utility bill. We don't want to worship God. We don't want to honor the Lord. We don't want to pay any utility bills. We're just going to enjoy without paying our bills, you see. So this doesn't work. It's impractical. The fact is, the more we become godless, the more we forget our spiritual natures, the more the world plunges into chaotic condition. Now, the difficulty is the modern-day religionists are teaching us a sectarian conception of God. Therefore, intelligent people are turned off by this, you know. You have to accept Allah, you're going to hell. You have to accept Jesus, you're going to hell, you see. They're giving us this sectarian, nonsensical version of religion. That's why people, intelligent people reject it. And I also rejected it when I was a college student. I mean, it's not intelligent, it's not scientific, it's just sentiment and fanaticism. It's understandable why people reject that, you see. But now genuine scientific spirituality has to be introduced in the society. That's what's required. Genuine scientific spirituality has to be introduced. Where we can scientifically understand the underlying spiritual reality of which, in which we are all participants, actually. Knowingly or unknowingly, we're all participating in the underlying spiritual reality that pervades the entire universe, you see. We're either in consonance with it or we're in dissonance. We're either living in a state of harmony with that underlying spiritual reality or we're clashing with it, you see. We often hear about self-realization, and it's the wonderful, beautiful thing. Self-realization means to live in harmony with that underlying spiritual reality which pervades the entire universe. That's spirit self-realization. So how does one actually do that? One has to understand the nature of one's own spiritual nature, and one has to understand the complete whole spiritual nature. And then one has to learn how to synchronize one's individual spiritual nature with that complete whole spiritual nature. There are some very simple ways to understand that, and once the understanding is there, the practice is not difficult. You just have to have the proper understanding. The atheistic propaganda mongers nowadays, they tell us that actually everything came out of nothing. There's one famous scientist, and he very proudly proclaims that now science has progressed and we understand that everything came out of absolutely nothing. And he calls it science. Now, science means observation and experiment. Science is not based on dogma or blind faith, right? So where's the experiment where you can take nothing and get something out of it? Has any scientist ever done that in a laboratory? Take in an absolute vacuum and produce something out of it? Is it? It has never been done, nor will it ever be done, that you can take nothing and get something out of it. Therefore, this, what they call the scientific truth, that everything comes out of nothing, is pure hogwash. Or as we sometimes say, baloney. It's complete rubbish. It's not scientific. It's scientific to understand that, as we can observe through experiments, something comes from something which comes from something. You see, that is scientific. Everything we see comes from something. So understand that some things come from something else. That is scientific. To say it comes out of nothing, that's not scientific. To say that there is some original substance from which everything has come, that is scientific. You see. So then how to understand that original thing or substance, which is the origin of all existence? That has to be understood scientifically. Let me give you an example here to help you understand him. Just imagine a gold mine. Now, from a gold mine, you can get gold. Can you get gold out of a goldless gold mine? Is that possible? The mine doesn't have gold in it, you can extract gold from it? No, it's not possible. To get gold out of a mine, there has to be gold in the mine. So, from the original existential mine, if you were, we're seeing that so many personalities are coming out. I'm a person, you're a person. What's the proof? Because we can agree or disagree. You see, that proves that we have personalities. I may not fully agree with you, or you may not fully agree with me. That proves that we're individual persons. You see? We're not all one. We agree, we may disagree with each other on different points, you see. So we are persons, and we have come from that original existential mind. Therefore, that existential mind must indeed possess personality. So now we're actually getting closer to understanding the foundation of our existence. There's actually a person out there from which everything has come. Now, we haven't made any blind faith leaps of faith here. We've simply analyzed it scientifically and logically. You see? Now we understand there's a supreme, there's a person out there who's the source of everything. And we are coming from that person. So, you can live in a loving, harmonious relationship with that person, or you cannot be in a loving, harmonious relationship with that person. So this is the true meaning of religion. Whether you call that person Christ or Allah or Jehovah or Krishna, that's not Buddha, or that's not the issue. That person has unlimited names. You can't pin him down to one particular name, you see. What's the proof that that person has many names? Well, my father had many names. He's just an ordinary man of this world. My mom called him one thing. His college buddies called him something else. His boss called him something else. I called him something else. His parents called him something else. He had so many different designations. Just an ordinary man of this world had so many different names. So God is only one name? I mean, come on. Let's not be ridiculous here. You see. That person who has unlimited potencies, who can manifest everything from himself, is limited to one name? That's crazy. That's what some so-called religionists want to tell us. But this is blind fanaticism, not scientifically understanding the Supreme. So if we understand that Supreme, who has unlimited names, unlimited qualities, unlimited activities, unlimited characteristics, and he's very big and we are very small, very tiny, and then we can understand, just as we talked a few minutes ago about the hand and the body, what is the actual relationship of the hand with the complete whole body? To lord it over the body or to serve the body? To think that it is the complete body, or to realize it's part of the body and do its service to the body? It's pretty obvious. The hand has to understand it's part of the complete whole. It's meant to serve the complete whole. So there you go. You see, that complete whole, the Supreme Person who's manifested as everything, he is the complete whole. Nothing exists outside of him. It's all his expanded energy. So it is our natural position then to serve that Supreme Person. That's our natural position. That's our healthy psychological position, to serve that Supreme Person. And when you do it, wow, do you feel good. I mean, you really feel good. And once you get a taste of actually serving that Supreme Person, then you go back to trying not to serve him. It's just like, oh my God, how could I even think about not serving him anymore? It's just, it's a whole new realm of existence. It, millions of times better than anything I could have ever enjoyed, you know, without being connected with that Supreme Person. So the science of how to connect with that Supreme Person can be called Krishna consciousness, Christ consciousness, Allah consciousness, you see. In Sanskrit, the actual word is Krishna Bhakti. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. That is the Sanskrit for the term. To be tasting the mellows of loving relationship with that Supreme Person. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. So, my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is on the highest level of self-realization. He's called a Paramahamsa. He's fully Bhagavan realized on the highest truth. And he has taught this science called Krishna consciousness. And he's very nicely given us, he hasn't invented it. This science is coming from Krishna himself, or that Supreme Person who actually kindly manifested himself in this world 5,000 years ago. God himself, out of kindness upon us poor souls who are suffering here in ignorance, came to actually directly enlighten us. And we're very fortunate that very highly enlightened personality named Srila Vyasadeva was able to get the whole thing down by his own mystic power. He got every syllable that Krishna spoke. I mean, every syllable is perfect. Srila Vyasadeva, by his great mystical powers, was able to capture and dictate to a very powerful scribe named Ganesh every single syllable of this conversation. And we have it here. If you don't have a copy, do you have copies for sale tonight? Do you have any? Anyway, if you want a copy, talk to this very nice devotee, Tapo Divyam Prabhu. Usually we bring a whole set, we have a book table at the end, so everybody can pick up a copy. But I was requested to read a particular verse, and it's one of my favorite verses. I'm really delighted I was asked to read this verse. Yad yad acharati shrestas tatta deve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. This is tied in with the transcendental warrior topic I was asked to speak on. So the idea is that you can be a transcendental warrior. That's the whole idea. If you can live an ideal life of being dovetailed or in harmony with that Supreme Person, you become what's called a Mahatma, a great personality, and you will have an uplifting impact on the global consciousness of this planet. You see? This is powerful stuff. We're talking about what we can do to actually completely bring a new paradigm to this planet right here, right now. You see? Not some far distant future. Right here, right now, what we can actually do to uplift the global consciousness, to completely turn world history in a wonderful positive direction that's been going in a downward spiral for centuries, to the point where we're wondering how long we can even have clean water, how long the oceans before the ocean comes up and puts Helsinki underwater, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You see, it's getting very serious. We can actually do something right now. Each and every one of us can do something right now to actually elevate the consciousness of this planet by ourselves dovetailing or connecting with the Supreme. And there's a powerful technique that was given by an incarnation of Krishna who appeared 500 years ago in India. His name is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a very, very powerful technique of transcendental meditation where you can be connected, directly connected with the Supreme. You see, directly connected. In fact, the Supreme Person manifests. You don't have to go a million miles to do that because the Supreme Person directly manifests right here in this room, in the form of transcendental sound vibration, where you can actually have a direct connection with the source of all existence, the ultimate powerhouse that energizes everything. You can be directly plugged in to that powerhouse, you see, the Supreme Person, through this mantra. Of course, in the Vedas, there are many mantras, and there are other powerful prayers in other traditions as well, Christianity, Islam, etc. But this particular mantra is described as the Maha Mantra, which means it's the most powerful, the most potent, the most effective mantra ever delivered in the history of the world for elevating the consciousness beyond the material plane, above the material plane. So I'm going to sing the mantra. I don't know if everybody knows the mantra, but it goes like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's not difficult. And it's only three words. Hare is the energy of God. Krishna is a name for the Supreme Person. And Rama is another name for the Supreme Person. So we have a little tune, a little easy to sing along, and someone even brought a drum. We can kind of make a nice little rhythm here. And so I'm going to sing, and I'll sing a little solo, and then you all can come in as a group, and then I'll do another solo. We'll go back and forth. I need somebody to hold the Madhusudan, or you can hold the mic for me while I'm singing. So everybody can join in. If you feel to clap your hand, you want to dance, you can dance too. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everyone sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama Hari Hare. Rama Rama Hari Hare.
So that's very nice mantra that we learned from Srila Prabhupada. Very, very nice mantra. It brings such wonderful purification to the heart, the soul, the mind. Because you can actually, you go deep into it, you can feel how God is present. Directly you can commune with God directly. You don't need to go to the church or the synagogue or even go to the temple. Of course, we invite you to come to our temple once it reopens. But you can do this anywhere. That's my point. You can do this anywhere. You can directly communicate with God whenever you want. On the metro, train, walking down the street, in the shower, wherever you are. You can go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the more you chant it, the more you become connected with the Supreme. And the more you're connected with the Supreme, the more you have an uplifting impact on the global consciousness to help change the world. You see? You can be a revolutionary just by chanting Hare Krishna. You become a transcendental warrior, a transcendental revolutionary. We're giving you the weapon, this Hare Krishna mantra, that you can be a transcendental warrior right now. You can start tonight on your way home, or you're chant Hare Krishna on your way home tonight. Become a transcendental warrior to help change the world and bring a wonderful new era of peace and love to this planet. Make a heaven on earth, you see. Now people are so miserable. You know, we just came from Tallinn today on the boat. People are so miserable. They go to Tallinn, bring a whole big wagon full of liquor back from Tallinn to get drunk here in Helsinki to drown them, you know, try to drown away their miseries, you know. I saw a man with a huge cart full of liquor. And he, you know, they take the boat to Tallinn just to get cheap liquor so they can come back to Helsinki and just get drunk. I mean, it's such a miserable life, you know. Why drown your miseries when you don't, beneath the misery, there's unlimited bliss available, you see. It's just like in the desert. There doesn't appear to be any water, but if you drill deep enough, you get an unlimited supply of water. So you just have to drill deep within your own consciousness. And what is the drilling? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The more you drill deep, deep, go deeper and deeper and deeper within yourself, and you will find an unlimited reservoir of happiness within your heart. You see? And as you become connected with the Supreme, you actually will have the power to connect others with the Supreme. By dint of your connection, you see, you can connect other people who then can connect other people. We actually did a little mathematical calculation. I have one disciple who's a mathematician in Tartu, Estonia. I had her help me do the math on this. But we figured it out that if one person can get two people connected with Krishna or the Supreme, who get two people connected, with 34 steps, the entire world population would be connected. We did the math. It's just after 34 steps, 1 to 2, 2 to 4, and this way this goes out. We actually made a table. You can see the table at each step. One person makes, and that's only if each person just brings two people. If somebody brings three or four, it get, you know, that's even better. But if just one person can make two people, who then make two people, who make two people connected with the Supreme, then we can completely change the world in 34 steps. So we're trying to get you all connected and teach you how you can connect others. That's our goal, who then can connect others. Because we want to revolutionize this planet. That's our mission. We want people to be happy. We don't want people to, you know, go crazy like in America. Every other day somebody takes a gun and goes to a shopping mall and starts killing people. The world is getting so crazy. When I was a child, these things were unheard of. But now they're very common. That shows you what's happening to the moral fiber of the society. As a kid back in the 50s, no one ever heard of a mass shooting. People didn't do such things. There was no security at the airports, you see. People didn't do such things. There was a higher standard of morality. See, but now you have to, I mean, you can't even get on an airplane without being checked out to see if you're a terrorist or not, isn't it? Because the whole atmosphere is becoming more and more demoniac on this planet. That's the reality. It's becoming more and more demoniac. So now we need to mobilize our energies and counteract this ever-increasingly demoniac energy by connecting with the Supreme. And this Hare Krishna mantra is the most powerful way. If you think it's sectarian, it's Hindu, it's okay. Then connect in with your own religion. That's fine. We're not trying to convert anyone. You can pray to Jesus or Allah, whatever your religion is. But do it perfectly, you see. Become a humble, saintly servant of the Supreme. That's the point. So anyway, I can ask if there's some questions. Maybe somebody has a question about what I said. Somebody might have a question. Be happy to. Or maybe something is confusing and you don't understand it. And yeah.
You spoke of moral situation of the world.
Yeah.
Do you say it's in Finland also?
I'm not studying Finland in particular. I cannot say about Finland. But I'm just speaking in general, traveling all over the world. I'm only here for one night. I can't say about this particular place, but certainly on the global, on the world, and in the U.S., it's definitely becoming more decadent. The atmosphere more decadent. I mean, used to be no one killed babies. Now it's a very common thing to kill babies. Millions of babies are killed every year that people don't want them. They just kill them. Abortion, that was illegal back in the 60s. And now it's accepted. It's considered a normal thing to do. If you don't want to, have the baby, just kill it. It's a human being, but just kill it. It's considered normal and it's okay. The government said it's all right. Everyone said it's okay. And these things were considered immoral 40, 50 years ago. But now they're considered normal thing, just like blowing your nose and throwing the tissue paper in the garbage can. A human being, you see. So I don't know about the standards here. I didn't grow up here like I did in the U.S. But I've seen, in general, the world situation. I've seen India, it's gone down. I've been visiting India for many years, ever since 1980. I'm seeing India going down really fast in its moral standards. Places I go a lot, I can see it. And it's probably everywhere. So we really need to bring God back to the center. We really need to. A non-sectarian understanding of God. That the universal understanding that applies to everyone, whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, a Jew, a Sikh, or whatever. We need a universal understanding of God, and that needs to come back to the center of the human society. That's a fact. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, how would you recommend to preach to the people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness and who say that they, for example, find it annoying? Then how can you?
They find it annoying.
Yeah. Can you approach to those kind of people at all, or how could you do that?
Well, I would try to make it interesting to them. You know, I would bend over backwards and think, how can I present it in such a way that they actually get interested? Because actually it's not annoying, but people, because of stereotypes that people have, they may think it's annoying. Actually, it's not annoying. This is the it's like saying, well, here's this fish flapping in agony on the beach, and if I try to throw him back in the ocean, he gets annoyed. You see what I'm saying? Because he thinks I'm coming to kill him or something, you know. I think I'm going to put him in a frying pan, you know. I try to pick up that poor fish on the ocean beach and throw him back in the ocean. He gets very annoyed. He thinks I'm... The real thing is people have to understand that we don't have any ill intentions. That we're not trying... Because in this world, everywhere you go, people are trying to cheat you and exploit you. So people are very leery of strangers in this world. What's this person's motive? What does he have up his sleeve? What's he trying to get out of me? You see, we don't trust it. We've been so much burned and cheated by so many people. We all are very skeptical of anyone nowadays. This person must be trying to cheat me also, you see. So they think that we're trying to cheat them. So I understand. So how do you get a person to become receptive? For example, let's just say you're annoyed with me, for example. How could I win you over? So you're no longer annoyed and you're willing to take training from me. How could I win you over? How could I make you receptive to me? Well, the first thing is I have to be receptive to you. You see, I have to open my heart to you. You have to really feel that this person loves me, cares about me. You see, because then that wall you have around you will melt when you see that this person doesn't have any. He's not trying to exploit me. He's not trying to abuse me. He really loves me as a human being. And wow, with no motives, then you will naturally, because everyone craves love, you will naturally open up. Once you see, I don't have any, I'm not trying to cheat you in any way, I'm just trying to serve you and help you, you see. So that's the real way it's done. You have to be so loving and so kind and so giving that, and so much appreciating people. Everyone has the spark of God within them. Everyone, even the derelict in the street, has a spark of God within them. So actually, every living entity is appreciable. So, if I truly appreciate you, you see, which I do, then you will be gradually become inspired to appreciate me and be able to learn from me. So it's called loving relationships. By cultivating loving relationships with people, going out of our way to help them and show our compassion for them, that we just want to help them. We don't have, then people gradually will learn to trust us. Even sometimes they're initially annoyed. That annoyance will gradually go away when they realize, wow, that's the only reason to be annoyed about these people. These are the most wonderful people I ever met in my whole life, you see. So by the one who is representing the Supreme, he has to be a very tolerant, loving, kind, patient, compassionate, and also intelligent person to explain things in a very proper way. I mean, I'll give you an example. If we explain things in a very Prabhupada said, if we explain in the best descriptive language, even the atheist will purchase our books. He said the best descriptive language. I was one time invited to speak to a Christian church, an adult study group on Wednesday night. And I was raised as a Christian, and I have great appreciation and love for Lord Jesus, and I still do. That simply increased since I started chanting Hare Krishna. It hasn't gone down. It's gone way up, in fact. So anyway, I was just telling these people, how great, how wonderful Lord Jesus is. He's our Savior. He's Guru, the Son of God. And they were just completely in bliss. Wow. They were just like, oh, wow. They were swimming in an ocean of nectar, hearing all this coming from me. So I was winning their trust and their appreciation because I was showing my appreciation for their most appreciable Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. And they were really getting, they felt completely comfortable with me. And then at the end, now, of course, I think it must be the same in Finland. The word beef has a dual meaning. It's probably you in Finland, you know. It means the flesh of a cow, or it means a complaint also. I have a beef. In America, it means those two things. So anyway, I said, they were all in complete bliss. And then I said, and they were smiling. They were just loved me. Every word I said, they were just eating it up with great relish. And then I said, but with you all, we have a beef. And that is the beef. You're eating meat. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And they were so mellowed out. They kept smiling because it was said in a very poetic way. They're like, well, that's really cool the way he said that. We have a beef and that's the beef. And they went, wow, how poetic. And not one person was disturbed, even though I said, this is wrong, you know. You shouldn't, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. But they loved it. They kept smiling. They weren't annoyed. Even though I tell them, you're not even following your own Bible. And this was at a Christian church. So it's just a matter of how you do it, really. If you're really compassionate and you really want to reach out and help people, you will bend over backwards to find a way to communicate with them that they love it. You see? I'm not here to gratify my own self by talking up, puff up my own false ego by coming here as the great orator. You see what I'm saying? I'm here tonight to connect with all you people in this audience, to make you feel good about yourself, to make you feel good about reality, you see. So you're not only will not be annoyed, I want you to actually love what I'm saying and just go, you see what I'm saying? The thing is, if you're really sincere, Krishna or God within has unlimited intelligence. We don't. We're just stupid idiots compared to him. But he has unlimited intelligence. And if you sincerely try to be connected with him and help others connect with him, he will give you the intelligence how to custom fit your presentation for that particular person. You understand? Just like you can go to a department store, a man can, you know, buy a coat and pants at a department store. You know, generic fit, right? Or he can go to a tailor. Now, which suit fits better? The generic fit or the tailor fit? You see? The tailor fit. So one who is actually trying to connect others with the Supreme, he has to be like a tailor. Not just the generic, but he has to be a tailor. He has to be very sensitive to who is this person I'm speaking to. What does life mean to them? What have they gone through in their life? You have to feel compassion for people because everyone's suffering in various ways. But you have to feel, if you feel genuine compassion for the suffering of others and you really want to help them, something inside them will know that and they will warm up to you. And they will forget their annoyance. That's a fact. We've seen it again and again and again and again. One person can tell them about the Supreme Person, they can be very annoyed. Another person comes, oh, thank you very much. It's a matter of how you say it. Prabhupada told me that. He said, it's not what you say, but how you say it. So if with compassion and with intelligence, you present the science of the Supreme to anyone, you can convince them. To anyone you can convince them. But you have to be convinced. That's the bottom line, you see. Therefore, I'm trying to completely convince you. I've been working on you for years. You're my student for many, many years through the different meetings and email. I've been, for years, I've been trying to help Susanna to really get connected. And I'm really happy you came tonight. I really appreciate. When I saw you come, I felt so happy. Oh, Susanna has come. Very good. You see. So in the same way that, you know, I'm appreciating you as a person and trying to help you, you should do the same for others. That's the point. You see, the same genuine compassion I have to try to help you out of all the illusion and confusion you've gone through all these years and come to the self-realization platform of Krishna consciousness, you should take that same mood that I'm giving towards you and give it to others. And it works. It's a powerful. I've seen you evolving over the years. You are evolving, by the way. You may not see it, but like the parents who see the child at every minute, they can't see how it's growing, but someone who comes every now and then can see. So I'm seeing how you're evolving over the years. You are evolving and advancing in your spiritual consciousness. I'm seeing it. So in this same way that I'm communicating with you in a way that you don't get annoyed with me. You actually feel something good about it. You're not annoyed by it. That's why you've come back. You should do the same for other people. This is the key. Compassion and presenting it in a very intelligent, attractive way, in the choicest words. Okay? Anything else? There's lady here in the back.
What is the right mood during Harinam? Should it be like you should pray within yourself? Should you be more in contact with the others?
What did she say? I'm deaf nowadays, but somebody can help me. Yeah, what is it?
What is the right mood on Harinam? Should you be in contact with others, or should you be praying to yourself?
When you're out chanting on the streets?
On the Harinam, yes.
Yes. For those of you who don't know what that means, because we have a mixed audience here, we have in the Hare Krishna movement, which I'm a member and many members are here tonight. Harinam, Hari means God and Nam means name. So we have a wonderful practice we do that we go out on the streets sometimes and sing the Hare Krishna mantra. It's called Harinam, going out on Harinam. And so what should the right attitude be? There's two things. When you're going out in the street to chant the holy names of God, there's two things you should be focused on, within and without both. You should be going within and trying to connect with the Lord, that I'm your humble servant. Please purify me. Please bring me to you. In this way, purifying your own heart. At the same time, try to sing in such, try to have compassion and make it very attractive by singing very with enthusiasm. And melodiously, you see, make it attractive to the public also. So it's two things. You want to connect within, with Krishna within, and you want to help all the people become attracted also. Two things you should be doing. As we pray every morning, Bahir Nisinga Hridaye Nisinga. That means let my mind become, Prabhupada translate that, may my mind become clean, and may I be able to spread peace to others. Bahir Nisinga, Hridaye Nisinga. So, or you could say a revolution within and a revolution without. I have to, or in terms of tonight's lecture title, I want to wage war against my own ignorance and wage war against the ignorance of the world, both at the same time.
I think that refers, you know, the new mood which has come up, like specifically in Estonia, that the Harinam has to be like the internal thing, and we don't care so much about, you know, the others, but it's our internal bachan.
Yeah, that's incorrect. That's incorrect understanding. Prabhupada said, Bahirnishinga Hridayanishinga. Both things go on a parallel line, you see. Let my mind become clean so I can peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world, he said. So we have it's two rails. It's not just if you're just trying to save yourself and you don't care about other people, that's like somebody on the Titanic who thinks, well, the hell everybody else, I'm gonna get on the lifeboat and I'm gonna, you know, set sail. I don't care if everybody else drowns, but I'm on the lifeboat, so it's okay. Not that move. You have to be properly situated in the lifeboat, and at the same time, you get as many people in the lifeboat as you can at the same time. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
Do you have anything to say about television, mundane magazines, and books in this library in general?
they all of these things about book, you said magazines? Yes, we have a very nice magazine called Back to Godhead. We're trying to make it the world's most popular magazine. That's our goal, you see. We think magazines are a wonderful thing, and we want our magazine to be the most popular in the world, Back to Godhead magazine. We want everybody to read our magazine, and we want to make our magazine so popular that people don't even, the other magazines will go out of business. That's our goal. And as far as books go, we want that people be so much interested to read our books that they'll have to have, you know, hundreds of copies in every library so that everybody will, you know, that everybody be in a line, you know, waiting up. When will it be available, you see? Other books are there. They can be used for various purposes, just like computer programming, you know, technical things, historical books. Those have some place. It's not that if we had Krishna conscious government, we'd, you know, burn all the books or something like that. Sometimes early days of our movement, the devotees in England, they bought a convenience store by the temple, and they wouldn't sell the daily newspaper anymore because it was a Krishna conscious ownership of the. And that the residents became very disturbed by them. So it's not that we don't believe in any sort of fanatical thing like that. You know, that we want to ban the news. This is not like the Taliban or something like that. You know what I mean? Krishna Ganya is not like the Taliban. It's a matter of understanding what's the most beneficial thing for me, and not being interested in other things because they're no longer interesting. It's not like we have to you know, forcibly rip people away from things. Not at all. Krishna consciousness is a voluntary practice of realizing a higher level of consciousness. So when one comes to that higher level of consciousness, they will naturally lose a taste for those things which don't elevate their consciousness. It's not that these things have to be banned. They just will lose. They won't be popular. They lose their popularity. And so, as people become Krishna conscious, their interest moves to other things. See, if the whole world was Krishna conscious, Playboy magazine would go bankrupt, for example. Because who needs to look at nude women? You see, it's not necessary. Just agitates the mind for illicit activities is all it does. So when you become Krishna conscious, you know, you're more interested to meditate on God than you are on the mundane things. This is natural, higher taste. It's the natural evolution of consciousness. I hope that makes it a little clear for you, sir. Any other questions? It's been some really nice questions so far. Any other questions? Okay. Well, actually, the hand behind you went up first, so you're next in line after him. This gentleman in the back raised his hand.
How to realize this knowledge of the self, how to always feel within yourself that you are the soul?
Amplification.
How to realize always that this knowledge in yourself that you are the soul? How
to realize that you're the soul?
You are the soul.
How to know that you're realizing it, or how to realize it?
How to realize it all the time.
Oh, how to realize it all the time. Yeah. Well, the best thing you can do is chant Hare Krishna as much as possible. If you can rise early every morning and meditate on the Hare Krishna mantra for a few minutes, we have actually a prescribed system called with chanting beads for those who want to do it very seriously. You can rise early in the morning, you can chant on the meditation beads, have a very good meditation session in the morning. And that will actually fix you for the whole day. And then we recommend you can also chant the mantra when you're riding, you know, all throughout the day when you're doing this and that. Riding in the car, you can say the mantra. Whenever you have some little spare time, you can just start saying the mantra because it immediately brings you back to your spiritual consciousness. It's like riding in the car today from the boat dock to where we had our lunch. I was just chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I could get reconnected, you see. Around me was getting off the superstar. There was so many big things, all the trucks coming off and people with their liquor wagons, you know, it was a big scene. So I wanted to get didn't want to forget who I really am. I wanted to get reconnected. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Immediately I was connected. So just by chanting Hare Krishna, immediately get reconnected wherever you are, while you're walking down the street, while you're taking your shower, while you're sitting down to have something to eat. You can just say Hare Krishna a few times and immediately get reconnected. So now you had something. You saw your hand as well.
I can also write the question. I can write it down. Well, I have a question, yes, about the association. Because it is said often that devotees should not associate with the materialists. But where do you draw the line? Who is devotee?
Associate with
materialists. Materialists
What is the line between? How can you define?
Actually, we are not a devotee is not prohibited from associating with anyone because we associate with everyone. It's a matter of the mood of association. But someone is completely absorbed on the material plane, we want to help them to the spiritual plane. Not that we want to come down to the material plane and give up our spirituality. Just like, for example, I don't drink liquor because it brings my consciousness down. Now, let's say I go somewhere to meet some old friends of mine. They're all drinking liquor, and they invite me to join them for liquor. So I won't take liquor with them. But I will, in fact, this happened one time. I was at a preaching center in State College, Pennsylvania. And there's some college kids next door. They're having a beer party in the backyard. They had a keg of beer, and they're all having a great beer party. So myself and the other devotee there, Stambhu, who was the charge of our center, we got a bunch of prasadam, I think it was the Bakuras or something. We went over there and gave prasadam to all the people there drinking their beer in priesthood, and they were in bliss. We were sharing prasadam with them. So our philosophy is we don't stop associating with people. Devotees associate with more of than a lot of people associate with other people. Our philosophy is associate with everybody and give them Krishna consciousness. Our philosophy is not to give up association. Our philosophy is to give everyone association. We love everybody. They're our brothers and the whole planet. Everyone's our family. This is all our brothers and sisters. The whole world is our brothers and sisters. We want to help our brothers and sisters. So we don't, our philosophy is not to disassociate. Our philosophy is associate and give them Krishna. But the not associating means we don't drink, I wouldn't drink the beer, you see, along with them. That's what it means. We don't come down to their level, which is sense gratification. We bring them to the spiritual level. That's what it means. We don't say, we tell our devotees to go out and meet everyone. We don't say, don't associate. We say, associate with everybody and give them Krishna. That's our philosophy. We love everyone. We like to associate with everybody and give them Krishna. You see? That's our philosophy. Isn't it? Tathavad Prabhu. He's our senior man. He's the senior man of our Hare Krishna movement in the country of Finland. And he's confirmed what I said is true. He sends his men out to associate with so many people every day. Associate with as many people as you can and give them Krishna. That is our philosophy, you see. Not that we hide somewhere in a cave. I don't want to associate with people who are materialists. No. Go out and give the materialistic people a wonderful boost to the spiritual platform, you see. That's our philosophy.
Once Niranjan Maharaj, he said in the Lithuania festival, he said that the line can be drawn where we don't open our heart, you know, confidentially to any materialists.
But is it?
He says we draw the line where we don't open our hearts.
Yeah, there is a line there. And the line is you don't want to give people what's going to blow their fuses. Because, you know, our philosophy is very high level. It's like, just like if you look at mathematics, there's calculus. And I'll say, I'm going to go to a first grade guru and I'm going to tell the kids all about calculus. And they're going to go, what? I got to teach them 1 + 1 = 2. You don't blow people's fuses when you're trying to tell them about self-realization. You have to, because self-realization has many levels, introductory level, first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way, you know, bachelor's, master's, PhD's. Post PhD level, the self-realization science is on many, many levels. So what that means is you have to give them according to their level, you see, what they can assimilate and understand and appreciate and digest. Another example is this. Somebody is dying of starvation. You think, oh, this poor person, I'm going to give him a big, huge meal. What will it do? It'll kill him. Someone who is dying of starvation, you have to just feed him a little bit in the beginning because his body can't handle a big meal. It'll kill him. You have to give him just as much as he can digest and then gradually you can increase, you see. So we're not meant to overwhelm somebody by giving them what is to them is a confidential level of knowledge. We have to give them on their level what they can appreciate, what they can assimilate. That's the understanding of that injunction, not to give the beyond what's, you know, not to preach to the faithless, it sometimes said. Yeah?
The other side is also truth. We give them association, not to take their association.
Yeah, our position is to give association and not to take association. But that doesn't mean you don't appreciate them. No. It means you don't take their bad habits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's not that we're impersonal, we don't care about others, we have some egotistic mood, no. A devotee generally appreciates everyone. Everyone's good. Everyone has good qualities. A devotee learns how to appreciate the wonderful qualities in every person he meets because the spark of God is within everyone. I mean, there's so many wonderful stories. Even one time, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he was walking in the Bowery streets, and there were some Bowery derelicts, you know, lying in the gutter. You know, and then they saw Prabhupada came by, they all stood up in respect. They understood, oh, here comes a great saintly person. All these drunk derelicts stood up is like soldiers at attention when Prabhupada walked by, you see. So these men, they had, even though they'd become derelicts, living in the Bowery Street, sleeping in the gutter, they still had something in them that respected a great saint, you see. So actually everybody has some beautiful, wonderful qualities within them, and a devotee learns to appreciate them and learns to connect with them. So, it looks like our, I think I've been talking long enough for an hour and 15 minutes, and I don't want to lose everybody, but, you know, we only have a certain amount of attention span, so we've been watching so much television. Now, formerly they would give discourses for 7 days straight. But, you know, even we can't even go 7 hours. 70 minutes, I've been going for 75 minutes. I think that's long enough. And I appreciate so much all of you have come. Every one of you is very dear to me and very much appreciated by me for coming tonight. I thank each and every one of you for coming. Thank you. Hare Krishna.